Okay, we're going to go to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. And we're going to talk about two verses here to start with. Verses 9 and verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. You there, say amen.
Amen.
Starts out, the first part of the, verse 9 says, "The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed." Meaning, someone who has been crushed by someone who's been who abuses their power or authority. It could be somebody who's carrying a heavy burden. It could be somebody who's been done wrong in some way. You may have been sitting here today. You may have been persecuted in the wrong way or unfairly. God, the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, is that shelter for that person. See, we have someone we can turn to and go to for protection. The Lord is our protector. Amen?
Amen?
Goes on that same verse to say, a refuge in times of trouble. How many have ever had trouble in their life? We're going to be talking about a little bit about troubles. There could be some of you sitting here today with trouble you're going through. Maybe this, the word I'm going to give today will help you out a little bit. Verse 10 goes on to say, those who know your name trust in you. Those who know God. I'm talking about truly know God. You got a relationship with God. You obey God. You're obedient to God. You listen to Him when He talks. You've took the time to listen, to be able to hear His voice. And you have no problem obeying Him. You know God. You know His name. It goes on to say in verse 10, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you, who seek Him, who look for Him in every moment of every day. When they're in a problem, in a jam, they don't turn to the neighbor, they look to God. God and God alone. Is God your Savior? Is He your protector? Do you look for Him in every moment of every day? Not just in hard times, but in good times. It says, for you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. See, He promises me He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me. I believe that promise. Do you believe that promise? He promised it to you. If you belong to Him this morning, He promised you that same thing. God wants me to give you a message from Him this morning. And He's going to do it in a form of a song to start with, the starting of it. I heard this song quite a while back, and I knew at the time I heard this song that one day I'd do a sermon about it. Didn't know when, didn't know how, but I do today. I didn't even know this group that played the song. I guess they're a pretty popular song. It's not a religious group. But I want you to listen to the words of this song, because when I first heard it, it was God talking to me. And God told me He wants you, everybody in this building, to hear this same song. Don't care who's singing it. Listen to the words of this song, because God wants to tell you something this morning. And this song is for each and every person here. Amen?
It's like a storm that cuts a path. It breaks your will. It feels like that. You think you're lost, but you're not lost on your own. You're not alone. I will stand by you. I will help you through. When you've done all you can do and you can't call, I will dry your eyes. I will fight your fight. I will hold you tight, and I won't let cry. I know it's dark, this part of life. Oh, it finds us all. We're too small to stop the rain. Oh, but when it rains, I will stand by you. I will help you through when you've done all you can do and you can't cope. I will dry your eyes. I will
what you're going through this morning, what you went through in the past, what you're going to go through in the future. And yes, you'll probably go through some things in the future. How many went through things in the past? There may be somebody, I'm not going to ask you right now, but there may be somebody going through something right now at this moment. You can be sure you'll go through some things in the future, but you don't have to go alone. You're not by yourself. God is with you. God will always be with you. Amen? We're going to start in the book of James, if you'll turn to the book of James. When you get to the book of James, you go to chapter 1. And we're going to be going through verses 2 through 8 and then verse 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, they're talking to all of us. I hope everybody in this room. We're brothers and sisters. We belong to the Lord. They're talking to Christians here. When troubles come your way, did it say if trouble comes your way? It says when troubles come our way. We're all going to have them, and we're going to have them again. Consider it an opportunity for great joy. I'm going to stop there for just a second. How many is joyful when you're going through some stuff? Kind of hard to be that way. See, he's not telling you to have joy at the moment. You know, if you got pain in your life, you're going to hurt. You can't always smile at all times. But let's go on. What else does it say here? It says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. an opportunity. What does he mean by that? See, we may be hurting at the moment, but if we make the right choices, and we don't turn against God, and we don't start blaming God, and instead of turning from Him, we turn to Him, and we allow Him to take us through whatever it is we're going through. And it could be anything. It could be financial. It could be sickness. But instead of turning away, blaming God, turn to God. Make good choices. Using this book to guide you. He'll get us through this. Whatever we're going through, He will get us through. If He has to pick us up and tote us. Amen? See, God's been known to pick you up and tote you through some places. You might not have thought He was with you. But I'm sure when you got to the other side, you knew for sure He had been with you. Amen? And when you got to the other side, didn't you have some joy in your life? When you seen that you didn't get destroyed? Not only did you make it to the other side, you realize I'm a stronger person, I'm a better person. You can have great joy when you're obedient to God and you trust and you rely and you turn to Him and rely on Him for everything. You may hurt for the moment, but I believe there's a scripture that says in the morning, is that there'll be smiles, or there's a scripture there, I won't quote where we're at. Going on to verse 3, it says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, endurance has a chance to grow." You know, sometimes when we get into these problems or whatever you want to call them, sometimes we think, was God mad at us or whatever? It could be. I mean, He could be punishing you for something. You'd have to judge yourself for that. Have you been living a life that you shouldn't be living? Have you been sinning when you know the Bible tells you not to sin? It could be punishment, but not necessarily. See, God uses trials. He uses problems to change my heart, to change your heart, change my attitudes, change your attitudes, change our direction of which way we're going. Change your direction. Sometimes we don't want to go where God wants us to go. So He has to put us through some stuff to get a change of mind, change of attitude, change of direction. The Bible says we're a stubborn people. And I have been very stubborn in my days. I don't know, anybody else stubborn at any time? Just me? Okay. Got one too. We can be stubborn. And when we are, God loves us so much. Now, this ain't about a scolding. God wants you to know He loves you so much. He's not going to let you keep going in that direction. And whatever He has to do to stop you and head you in the direction you need to go in, He will do it. Not that He loves punishing you. He'd rather bless you. Every day of your life, He'd rather give you a blessing and let the people around you see how much He loves you. But He's got to get you going in the right direction first. What direction is that? Right here. That's the direction. It's all in this book. Verse 4. So let it grow. Endurance, I've already read that one. No, it didn't. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Goes on in 5, says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Bible says we have not because we ask not. Bible also says, my people are being destroyed for the lack of wisdom. I mean, the lack of knowledge. Forgive me. See, we go to God for a lot of different things when we go to pray for Him. We'll go to Him real quick when we ah ain't got enough money to pay our bills at the end of the month, where it's rent or what. We need groceries, we'll go to Him real quick for that. When we want a brand new car, or bigger, or better, fancier car, we'll be glad to get on our knees to ask Him for that. Do you ever ask Him for wisdom? Have you ever read the story about Solomon? Wisdom is the best thing you can ask Him for. See, wisdom will lead you to all of the other things. When you're in trouble, when you're going through a storm, take time to ask God for wisdom so you'll know how to get out of that storm. You may have a bunch of knowledge. You may be a very smart person. You may be able to figure out all kinds of directions to try to get out of that storm. But you need wisdom to determine which one to use and how to do it. Only God can give you that wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God and God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God and God alone. Now, I know we have a habit of saying, I believe God, I have faith in God. And it's very easy to do when you have, I'm having a great time this week. My parent, or my mother's down, my brother's down, getting to socialize with them. It's easy to have faith this week. I'm all for a week. Everything's going good. It's not hard at all to be happy, to be joyful, to tell you I have faith in God. But what happens when the telephone rings? Some kind of disaster somewhere in your family life. You find out a loved one's got some kind of illness. You find out something happened, your car tears up and you hadn't got any money to fix it. Do you still have that faith? Do you still have that faith? Who do you trust in? Who is your faith in? Do you turn to God? Now I'm being sincere as I can be. Do you really turn to God? Or do you pick up the phone and call your neighbor? Do you ask your buddy, how can I get out of this? Do you come to church and rely on the pastor to give you a way out of it? Or do you go to God? See, we can sit and play church all we want to, as much as we want. Come in and say, shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you walk out that door and you don't live it, it's not going to do you a bit of good. I think I told you that before. We have a God, and I'm getting in the wrong direction. I want to tell you how much God loves you. God wants you to come to Him. God is ready to carry you through whatever it is you're going through. And if you trust in Him, see, I've learned this over the last few years. I've been in through a lot of storms just like you have. And I've been scared. And you know, the first thing the devil wants to do is throw fear at you. Worry. All they're going to accomplish for you is tearing your body all apart. You're going to end up being sick. You're not going to do the Lord any good at all. And I had a senior moment just a second. So who do you turn to? Now, I know times that I say I trusted in the Lord, but yet when the problem showed up, first thing I do, I got afraid. I got worried. I didn't open the Bible and read it and all that stuff. And I got to admit to you, God still got me through it. Even though I was stubborn, I didn't go to it. I had to go through more than I would have had to do. You know, if we'd go directly to Him right off the bat, just to start with, we'd cut our problem in half, if not even shorter. Now, I'm telling you this because if you don't do this, I want you to start doing this and see how God works in your life. God is a God that wants to be part of your life. He's not a God that's way up there. Yes, He is up there, Jesus is beside him, but he's right here in us too. Amen? He's here to guide you. He's here to tell you what direction to go in. To take your hand and lead you, and if he has to pick you up, put you on his shoulder, he's going to get you to the other side. You may have some pain going through, but when you get to the other side, you will have joy in your heart. Amen? You will be a stronger person. And the next time you come up to the next problem, you'll get through it a little easier. Won't take near as long, because you're going to be a little bit smarter. You're going to use wisdom at that time. You're going to use more wisdom the next time. You're going to see when you ask God for wisdom and he gives it to you, you're going to be ready to ask it for more and more. See, that's what the Bible's all about. God wants to lead us to his book. He wants to show us who he is in our circumstances. And he wants us to lead us out of those. He wants to bless us. He don't want to punish us. But sometimes he has to. Amen? Everybody knows me. I get lost sometimes. All right. Okay, it goes on to verse 8. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. This is the verse. We show up church on Sunday. Every Sunday. Some of us come on Wednesday night. I have a Sunday night service. There's a few come on Sunday night. Some of us think our loyalty is just showing up at church on Sunday night. It's much more than that. Are we showing loyalty to the world and to God? They're talking about here. Are you divided? Do you not know which one you need to show your loyalty to? Are you taking the Bible and picking out the parts you like? And then looking out here in the world, what the world has to offer you, and then picking a few things out there that you like, and you're dividing it up, and now I'm going to do this for the worldly way, but yet I'm going to be loyal to God. I've seen some things in the Bible I like, so I'll deal with those too. Are you picking this book up and obeying it from the start of it to the back of it? Because if this is just a partial book to you, and it's just got a few things that you like in it, and the world out there has got a lot more that you like, then you ain't got anything to do with this book. You're all world. Because the Bible speaks of lukewarm churches, lukewarm people. You're either with God, and that's in the Bible too, or you're against God. Amen? We got to give all our loyalty to God. I didn't say to this building here or the people, I said to God. He'll make sure we treat each other right. Once we give him our loyalty, and we do what he tells us to do, and we get in his word, and we read and understand. The Holy Spirit within you is going to give you understanding. So if you're here this morning, I can't understand the Bible, keep reading. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will know. Not take it. It may not be the first night you read, or the next night. You will understand it at some point, because the Holy Spirit will make sure that you understand. Anything he wants you to know, he's going to make sure you get the clarification on it. Amen? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Starting verse 3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we Now we live with great expectations. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of chains and decay. Now, I didn't want to talk too much about that, but I am going to stop just a second because this is not really lined up. How many know that you can pass on riches to heaven? Nobody knows that? Okay, let's do it in a different way. You know, we have a habit of wanting to take possessions and money and store it up in banks and put our stuff, hide our stuff at home and not share it with others, maybe. We all know when we leave this world, they're going to stay there, correct? Did you know you can take those and move them on to heaven? Did you know that? Not that particular batch of money that you're putting up. Maybe not the stuff. But when you take from a good heart that's following the Lord Jesus Christ and you do for others, when you take that money that's stashed in the bank that you're not even going to use the whole time you're here and you do what God tells you to do with it, when you help a fellow brother or sister or someone in need and you do it for the right reasons, not because you're expecting something from that person, but because you know God wants you to do it. You got to check. You got like a savings account up in heaven, and God puts some rewards in it. I'm not going to say it's going to be money or anything like that. Have no idea what He's putting there for you. But you can take in this world, and the good you do for others, God's watching. He knows why you do it. He knows the motives. Sometimes we do things and we get a reward right here because we wanted something from that person or we wanted praise for doing what we've done. You don't get any rewards for that in heaven. It's when we do it from a good, kind heart, loving the person that we're doing it for and not expecting anything back. We help the people. If you've lived your life that way, you can expect rewards when you get to heaven. Eternal rewards that would never rust, never fade away. No one can take from you. No one can steal for eternity. That's all I'm going to say about that because it kind of got off. Going on, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Tells you again. Wonderful joy ahead. And there are many trials for a little while. We're going to have to go through some stuff. But there's joy waiting on us if we depend on God and if we turn to God. Amen? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as far tests and purifies go. Now, this is what we talked about a while ago. If you haven't been put to the test, how do you know that you really believe? It's easy to say it when things are going good, like we said. But now when you're in this in a time of need, that's when it's tested. When you still stick with the Lord and you don't turn your back. And you still do what God tells you to do. And you have faith that He's going to bring you out on the other side. It builds your faith. You get stronger. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. How many loves the Lord this morning? I mean, truly love Him. I want to ask you another question. Did you love Him when you first got saved? You did love Him when you first got saved. Well, I got to tell you, I didn't. I love Him. Don't let me take this the wrong way. I didn't know Him when I first got truly know Him. I believed in Him. I believed what His Word said, and I wanted to love Him. I wanted to get to know Him. But when I was first saved, I loved what He did for me. He saved my soul. I loved him enough, I wanted to get to know him a little bit better. And as I got to know him, each and every day of my life, I got to know him a little better. I experienced him in my life. I've seen him in my troubles. Love started to grow. Do I love him now? Without a doubt. He's the biggest love of my life right now. And I love my wife. I love my mother. I love my kids and my brother. I love you. But he's got you beat. He's got you beat. Because if I didn't love him so much, I wouldn't love you as much. Amen? Loving God is just like loving each other. We got to get to know each other. We got to experience time with each other. Talk to each other. I got to find out what you care about. You got to find out what I care about. And believe me, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. I'm as good as God is making me. But I'm trying to be better and better all the time. I hope that's each and every person sitting here this morning. Though you do not see him now, you trust in him. Do you trust in him? Do you believe he's real? Do you really believe he's real? I hope so. He's the only hope we got. Look around us. What's going on? I know he's taking care of me, and I'm trusting him every minute of every day, every second of every day. Amen? And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. You know, when you go through, I don't know about you, but when he gets me through some of these hard times we're talking about, I can't help from being joyful. When I look back and see what he's done for me in my past, do you ever just stop and look back at what God has done for you? What he's got you through? You know, some of us don't even give him credit for it. Some people, you know, I've heard the word luck so many times, and it irritates me so bad when I hear somebody say, I've been lucky. And I used to be guilty of this until I found out who Jesus Christ was. There's no such thing as luck. I want to tell you that. You're either blessed or you're not blessed. God's with you or he's not with you. Amen? Forget this. Quit giving luck credit. Give the God Almighty credit. Give the Lord Jesus Christ the credit he deserves. Verse 9 says the reward for trusting in him will be the salvation of your soul. Amen? I got some more scriptures here I just want to read real quick before we end. You know, that song we just read, it says, I will stand by you. It says he will stand by you. He will help you through. We know the Bible says that Jesus will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Amen? You either believe that or you don't believe that. Psalm 37, verse 28 says, for the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. Can I get an amen to that? Who are the godly? The godly are those who love him, who follow him, who obey him, who looks for him in every minute and second of every day, who lives their lives the best of your ability by this book right here. And we're all going to mess up. We know that. But if your heart is here, and you're doing your best, he'll cover everything else for you. Amen? He goes on to say, he will keep them safe forever. But the children of the wicked will die. Amen? I hope there's no wicked sitting here today. If you are, I hope you're not wicked when you walk out that door this morning. Amen? I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you don't know God this morning, I'm going to give you the chance to know him. Psalms 91:14 says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. John 14:21-23 says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Do you want to know if you really love the Lord? Do you accept his command? Are you obeying him? That's what the Bible says. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. When you're going through a hard time, the Lord will reveal himself to you. In that heart. Right in the, you know, I forgot to bring it up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Normally I can't say those names. Do you know what they went through? They step into the fire. The flames were there. They just witnessed some of the ones that was putting them in there die from the heat of the fire. Their faith was so great in God. In the midst of the fire, three went in, but how many were standing there when the king looked in? Four. When you go through your fire, your storm, or whatever it is you're going to, look for the Lord. Don't look at the fire. Don't look at the circumstances. Look to God and for God. He's the one who's going to bring you through it. You will not be burnt. You won't even smell like smoke when you get to the other side. Amen? Amen. 23 says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Relationship. They'll be with you every day if you want them to. Or you can push them just as far away from you if you want to. You can turn your back on them and you get out there in this world and you do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. That's what you want to do. But when you do that, you're pushing God away from you. You've been a gap so far that he can't. You won't hear him when he calls upon your name because you got too much junk in between you and the Lord. Amen? They want a relationship with you. They want to be with you each and every day. And they want to carry you through all the troubles that's ahead of you. One last scripture. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now they're talking about resisting temptations and this, that, and the other. You know, when we're in a storm, the first thing that the devil wants to throw at you is the feeling of fear. Worry. That's a temptation. Now, that's the first thing we want to do is start worrying and getting all fearful and afraid that God's not going to do anything for us. God's not going to be there for us. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Resist those feelings. Did you know you can resist feelings? You don't have to obey or abide by what you feel. If you know the truth of what the Word says, you may have the feeling. I didn't say you could get rid of the feeling. But if you know the truth, you don't have to let that feeling lead you. You can resist it and watch how fast that worry disappears. How fast worry or fear leads you when you put your eyes and focus on God himself. Amen? Would you please stand? There could be somebody in here this morning that's going through a hard time. It could be a physical. You may have illness. You need to be prayed for. We got oil. We will pray for you up here. We'll anoint you with oil. It could be here a financial problem. It could be any kind of a problem. Something else God wanted me to say here. You know, when God helps us, when you see God in the fire, in our circumstances, a lot of times you'll see one of us standing there. See, when God gets in the fire with you, most of the time he does it through one of your fellow brothers and sisters. That's when you see God. See, we are stepping in with God to help the other person. I want you to know that God just don't snap his fingers every time and just things fall into place. He sends somebody most of the time to step into your life, to pull you out of the fire, to help you out of the fire. See, that's your job. That's my job. To listen what the Lord tells you and do what he tells you. To step in to help your neighbor, your brother, your sister in times of need. And that's where we talked about the rewards in heaven. When you do it, and you do it from a good heart, obedient heart, you don't want nothing for it. You're not expecting payment back. You're not expecting praise. Let me tell you, when you do that, you get all the reward you need from the feeling you get on the inside from helping that person. But you'll also have something waiting on you in heaven. Don't do it for that reason. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Don't let that be your motive. Let your motive be love. Amen? If anybody needs anything to be prayed about for any reason whatsoever, this altar is open. Father, I just want to come to you this morning. Lord, I spoke your word just like you told me to speak your word. Lord, whoever this word went out to, the ears it fell upon, Lord, if you're talking to anybody in this room about anything and you want them to come forward, Lord, I just ask the Holy Spirit to lead them forward. Lord, if there's anybody in this building that needs your healing power or your power to heal their body, let them know that you are here and you're ready to help them. This altar is open for each and every person, no matter what the reason is. It could be a financial problem, whatever. Lord, I just want to thank you for your word this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.